When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
The privilege of supping with a royal prince is granted to very few. Allow me to give you one or two hints as to what you may say or do. Maintain a dignified demeanor, be relaxed but not too expectant, and always remember protocol.
It sounds like a disinfectant.
Protocol, my dear, is just a set of simple rules designed to lubricate proconsular machinery. For example, it is wiser if you talk with King or Kaiser to confine your conversation to the scenery. But I digress. The very first thing you must master is the method of address. Sir or ma'am or sir. One's addressed to him, of course, the other's addressed to her. Majesty or highness may once in a while be used, but you'll notice a certain dryness if you get the terms confused. Ma'am or sir.
Sir or ma'am.
Accompanied by a simple bob, not a profound salam. Oh, and don't have a stroke if a casual joke is received with funereal gloom. Smother a curse, and in quick reverse, back right out of the room. Sir or ma'am or sir. The mumbling of this simple phrase betrays the amateur. Royal condescension may murmur a Christian name, but you'll notice a certain tension if you try to do the same.
Ma'am or sir or ma'am.
Makes every royal personage as happy as a clam. If some remark should go wide of the mark and you're suddenly conscious of doom, sink to the ground, swivel around, and crawl right out of the room.
A brilliant and concise bit of etiquette among the upper classes, rendered by Roderick Cook to Florence Henderson, yes, Carol Brady herself, from the 1963 Noel Coward musical The Girl Who Came to Supper. Well, many of you may have been flocking to your local PBS affiliates to watch Downton Abbey, and this whole notion of life among the upper classes and the tension between the upper classes and the servant classes, between master and servant, between mistress and maid, seems to have come back into vogue. And for those of us like myself who grew up in the 60s and 70s, we love that on another PBS series called Upstairs, Downstairs. And that is what we're going to celebrate today on Broadway to Main Street. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for our weekly show of great Broadway and theater tunes from WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting, at 88.3 FM here in Southampton, New York. And Southampton knows its own sort of level of social interaction among the upper classes. So we're going to look at class struggle through the lens of the Broadway and the West End musical. The 1970 musical The Rothschilds, with a great score by Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick, epitomized what it was like to live among the upper classes, certainly among the 18th century upper classes in Austria. So here is the opening number from that show, Pleasure and Privilege from The Rothschilds.
See the pampered faces, regard the costly clothes, every carefree figure in a courtly pose. Sniff the fragrant powder and smell the scented oil. Note the slender fingers that have not known toil. A world of pleasure and privilege, elegant, elite, a private Arcadia. Well, life is sweet. Beautiful and polished, exclusive and elect, wary of outsiders as you might suspect. See the couples dancing to flute and violin. Aren't you rather jealous that you can't come in? A world of pleasure and privilege, elegant, elite, a private Arcadia. Well, I'm sweet. Would you like
to enter this gay and gilded sphere? How much would you pay to be included here? Make your highest offer, but bear this thought in mind.
Your bid may be rejected if you're not our kind. A world of pleasure and privilege, elegant, elite, a private Arcadia, well on.
He's sweet. Take a silver shilling or take a golden mark. When the top is shining, then the bottom's dark. Take a world of pleasure and look behind its back. When the front is shining, then the back is black. A world of pleasure and privilege, elegant, elite, a private Arcadia, where life is sweet.
A stern look at the aristocratic, wall, literally and figuratively speaking, between the upper classes and the lower classes from the Rothschilds. Let's turn to a slightly more amusing version of the same idea. This is, of course, written by Noel Coward for a review he did in England in the 30s. And this is for all of those people out there who love Downton Abbey and Gosford Park. This is a song about those very stately homes of England, sung by Sir Noel Coward himself.
Lord Elderly, Lord Boromir, Lord Sicket, and Lord Kemp, with every virtue, every grace, are what avails the sceptred race. Here you see the four of us, and there are so many more of us eldest sons that must succeed. We know how Caesar conquered Gaul and how to whack a cricket ball. Apart from this, our education lacks coordination. Though we're young and tentative and rather representative scions of a noble breed, we are the products of those homes serene and stately that only lately seem to have run to seed. The stately homes of England, how beautiful they stand, to prove the upper classes have still the upper hand. Though the fact that they have to be rebuilt and frequently mortgaged to the hilt is inclined to take the guilt off the gingerbread, and certainly damps the fun of the eldest son. But still we won't be beaten, we'll scrimp and screw and save. The playing fields of Eton have made us frightfully brave. And though if the Van Dykes have to go and we pawn the Bechstein brand, we'll stand by the stately homes of England. Here you see the pick of us. You may be heartily sick of us, still with sense we're all imbued. Our homes command extensive views, and with assistance from the Jews, we have been able to dispose of rows and rows and rows of Gainsboroughs and Lawrences, some sporting prints of Aunt Florence's, some of which were rather rude. Although we sometimes flaunt our family conventions, our good intentions mustn't be misconstrued. The stately homes of England we proudly represent. We only keep them up for Americans to rent. Though the pipes that supply the bathroom burst and the lavatory makes you fear the worst, it was used by Charles I, quite informally, and later by George IV, on the journey north. the state departments keep their historical renown. It's wiser not to sleep there in case they tumble down. But still, if they ever catch on fire, which with any luck they might, we'll fight for the stately homes of England. The stately homes of England, though rather in the lurch, provide a lot of chances for psychical research. There's the ghost of a crazy younger son who murdered in 1351 an extremely rowdy nun who resented it, and people who come to call meet her in the hall. The baby in the guest wing who crouches by the grate was walled up in the west wing in 1428. If anyone spots the Queen of Scots in a hand-embroidered shroud, we're proud of the stately homes of England.
Shouldn't I take a chance when romance passes by? Why shouldn't I know of love? Why wait around when each age has a sage who has found that upon this earth love is all that is really worth thinking of? It must be fun, lots of fun, to be sure when day is done that the hour is coming when you'll be kissed, and then you'll be kissed again. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So shouldn't I? But from knowing secondhand what I do of it, I feel certain I could stand a closer view of it. So I feel that it's good, and every star out in far Hollywood seems to give it a try. So why shouldn't I?
The ever-wistful Chris Connor singing a song from a 1935 musical called Jubilee, with a score by Cole Porter, book by Moss Hart, about the royal family of England who decide that they want to mix with commoners and learn about what life is really like, hence that song, Why Shouldn't I? Well, Cole Porter was an American aristocrat because he had a lot of money. He was a millionaire several times over, so he understood high society, as it were. And here's a great number from a revival of a 1938 musical called You Never Know, in which a rich baron in Austria switches places with his butler, Gaston. And this is that kind of role reversal between master and servant that always did well in Shakespeare and Marivaux and Molière and things like that. Here it is, sung by Harry Groener as the Baron and David Garrison, who sings our title song, as the butler Gaston. The song is called By Candlelight, and the show it's taken from is Cole Porter's You Never Know.
Gaston, the song, our song, has to be discarded.
Our song?
Why, Baron, our song, which has always scored such a big hit with the ladies?
Too big a hit. That's why it has to stop.
Have you found a replacement?
I found something this morning. The name is By Candlelight. I consider it most appropriate. Now, pay attention. When I want to try out the song on a lady, whoever it may be at the time, then you wait in the anteroom as usual. Then, when you hear the word candlelight for the third time, you turn out all the lights in this room. Understand?
Completely, Baron.
To be on the safe side, let's have a little rehearsal right now. I'll sing it, and when candlelight is repeated for the third time, you say, lights out, so I know you've got the idea. Now, listen carefully. By candlelight, so often at night, I dream of you close to my heart. By candlelight. Gaston, what's the matter?
Yes, Baron?
There it was again.
What was?
The candlelight.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Where are your thoughts?
In the dark.
Let's continue. Life seems such perfect bliss, and so sweet every kiss. I know that love like this couldn't be true, and yet so real it seems that I feel fortune beams on my candlelight.
Lights out!
Dreams of you. I think it would be best if you sang it once through yourself.
But then you'll have to watch for the candlelight part, Baron.
I'll watch for it.
By candlelight, so often at night, I dream of you close to my heart. By candlelight.
Out!
No, Baron, we only had candlelight twice. You really must pay attention. By candlelight, the world looks so bright that I swear we never more shall part. Life seems such perfect bliss, and so sweet every kiss. I know that love like this couldn't be true, and yet so real it seems that I feel fortune beams on my candlelight. Dreams of you.
That was David Garrison and Harry Groener from You Never Know, a Cole Porter musical about role reversal among the upper classes and the servant class, which is our theme today on Upstairs, Downstairs. Now, an American version of that idea came from Rodgers and Hart in 1940 from a very little-known show called Higher and Higher, which was about a Park Avenue apartment and rich people who lived in the apartment and the people who served them. I think Jack Haley was one of them. And as often happened with Rodgers and Hart, a great song escaped from even a minor show. Here it is, rendered by Sarah Vaughan, It Never Entered My Mind.
I've lost the very meaning of repose. I never put a mud pack on my face. Oh, who'd have thought that I'd walk in a daze? Now I never go to shows at night, but just to matinees now. I see the show and home I go. Once I left when I heard you saying that I'd be playing solitaire, uneasy in my easy chair. It never entered my mind. sun. And order orange juice for one. It never entered my mind. You have what I lack myself. And I sing the maiden's prayer again and wish that you were there again to get into my head again. It never entered my
Wow, what a rendition of a Rodgers and Hart classic by Sarah Vaughan. I would love it even if it didn't mention the man who came to dinner in the lyrics. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting, coming out of Southampton, New York. And today we're looking at what I call Upstairs, Downstairs. You may remember that title from the great PBS series in the 70s. Anyways, a way of looking at master and servant relationships, as in appears in the West End and Broadway musical. And of course, one of the great enduring characters of master and servant are Jeeves and Bertie Wooster by P.G. Wodehouse, who live just around the block here in Sagaponack from Southampton. And there is a, I think, great 1975 British musical, lyrics by Alan Ayckbourn, music by Andrew Lloyd Webber, called Jeeves, which really never made it here in its original incarnation to America. So let us hear Bertie Wooster, the, what would I say, the Department of Standards British twit aristocrat, sing about what happens when his manservant Jeeves tends to have lost his grip, surprisingly, in an important situation. Here is David Hemmings from the 1975 West End cast album, A Rarity of Jeeves.
Nothing so distressing as to watch some fine old warhorse battling gamely onward as he heeds the bugle call. Equally depressing to see my old retainer plunging downwards, lemming-like to his decline and fall. Sorry to say, it's happened. Jeeves has gone past his peak. Sad to say, he's had his day. He's like an old antique with mental woodworm. Once he was like a razor, sharper than mustard without the crest. There's no denying, right now, Jeeves is a mess. All that old grey matter that he keeps beneath his bowler, crumbling like old cheddar as his evening turns to night. Intellectual sparring is now simply quite beyond him, throwing in the mental towel he's given. The fight. once when we played a chess game.
Chess game.
There wasn't much reward.
Reward.
I would find that I'd resigned. Before I'd set out the board, he knew the gambit. Watching him do the crossword.
Crossword.
Causing his parka to blow a fuse. And whilst he solved it like that, he'd read the news.
Where are they now who would steer us through life? Men who have spared us the fate of a wife. Splash! They who fetch and carry, bribing us to drink and marry. Hearts the size of dinner gongs. That beat has won.
Long goodbye. Not a clue what I'll do. I'll have to tie my tie. Perhaps you'll teach me. Backs to the wall for Wooster. Tighten the belt and adjust the dress. There's no denying. Sans Jeeves, I'm in. A mess. Completely frankly, no chance.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, chérie, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvre, why, we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, miss, this is France, and a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We our guest, be our guest.
Beef ragout, cheese soufflé, pie and pudding
on flambé. We'll prepare and serve with flair a culinary cabaret. You're alone and you're scared, but the banquet's all prepared. No one's gloomy or complaining while the flatware's entertaining. We tell jokes, I do tricks with my fellow candlesticks.
Put it all in perfect taste that you can bear.
Come on and lift your glass, you've won your own free pass. Be our guest.
If you're stressed, it's fine dining we suggest.
Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest.
Life is so unnerving for a servant who's not serving. He's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly those good old days are gone. 10 years we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting, needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most days we just lay around the castle. Flabby, fat, and lazy, you walked in and oops-a-daisy!
It's a guess, sakes alive, and I'll be blessed. Wine's been poured, and thank the Lord, I've had the napkins freshly pressed. With this, she'll want tea, and my dear, that's fine with me. While the cups do their sauce-chewing, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing. I'll get warm, I've been hot. Heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up, we want the company impressed. We've got a lot to do. Is it one love or two for you, our guest?
She's our guest. I'm the man's own request. It's 10 years since we've had anybody here, and we're obsessed. With your beer, yes, indeed, we interfere. While the candlelight's still glowing, let us help you live the golden horse.
Course, one by one, till you shout
it out like that.
Then we'll sing you off to sleep as you digest.
You'll prop your feet up, but for now let's eat up. Be our guest, be our guest, be our guest, be
the most obliging household staff ever in a musical. Of course, that's from the soundtrack of Beauty and the Beast, Jerry Orbach and Angela Lansbury. And so what if you could find them at Crate and Barrel? We still love them. Well, it's important to have an efficient and reliable household staff, and no one realized that better than Stephen Sondheim when he wrote the following number for David Burns and Zero Mostel and Co. from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Maids like me, I'm neat. I like maids. They're neat. Something no household should be without. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a working girl. Everybody ought to have a lurking girl to put around the house. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a menial. Consistently congenial and quieter than a mouse. Oh, wouldn't she be delicious, tidying up the dishes, neat as a pin. Oh, wouldn't she be delightful, sweeping out, sleeping in. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Someone who you hire when you're short of help, to offer you the sort of help you never get from a spouse. Fluttering up the stairway, shuttering up the windows, cluttering up the bedroom, buttering up the master, puttering all around the house. Oh, wouldn't she be delicious, tidying up the dishes, neat as a pin. Oh, wouldn't she be delightful, sweeping out, sleeping in. Everybody ought to have a maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid.
Someone who, when fetching you, your slipper will be winsome as a whippoorwill and graceful as a grouse. Skittering down the hallway, flittering through the parlor, tittering in the pantry, littering up the bedroom, twittering all around the house. A maid?
A maid.
A maid.
A maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid. Everybody ought to have a serving girl, a loyal and unswerving girl, who's quieter than a mouse. Oh,
think of her at the dustbin, especially when she's just been traipsing about.
Wouldn't she be delightful,
living in, giving out.
Everybody ought to have a maid. Daintily collecting bits of paper and strings, appealing in her apron strings, and graceful as a grouse.
Pattering through the attic,
chattering in the cellar,
clattering in the kitchen,
fluttering in the bedroom,
fluttering all around the house. The house. The house. The house.
A maid?
A maid.
A maid.
A maid.
Everybody ought to have a maid. Someone who's efficient and reliable,
obedient and pliable and quieter than a mouse. Oh, oh, wouldn't she be so nimble, fiddling with a thimble, mending a gown. Oh, oh, wouldn't she be delightful,
cleaning up,
leaning down.
Oops.
Everybody ought to have a maid, someone who'll be busy as a bumblebee. And even if you grumble, be as graceful as a grouse.
Wriggling in the anteroom,
jiggling in the dining room,
giggling in the living room,
wiggling in the other rooms,
pottering all around the house. The house. The house. The house.
Is there another encore? No, that's it. Okay, that's it. That is Stephen Sondheim's amusing version of Looking at the Servant Classes. Let's hear two more by Sondheim, slightly more, what would I say, serious, but also desirous of being part of the upper classes. This is two songs from A Little Night Music. The first was cut and has recently been recorded by a wonderful performer named Jason Tam for a new cast album of Marry Me a Little. It's called Silly People. And then we'll hear Rachel York tackle the great song that remained in A Little Night Music, a maid singing about her dreams of the future, The Miller's Son, sung by Rachel York. So, two by Sondheim about the servant class.
Lie here with me on the grass. Let the wind be our words as the night smiles down. Don't they know, they don't, do they, silly people? Silly people, silly people. Voices glide by, let them pass. Let them float in their words till they slowly drown. Don't they know, don't they, what they want? Silly, silly people, patient and polite, crying in their teacups, shying from the night. When now it smiles for lovers. When next it smiles for fools. The last it smiles for them, the others, the rememberers, the truly silly people.
People, floating
miller's son. Pin my hat on a nice piece of property. Friday nights for a bit of fun. We'll go dancing. Meanwhile, it's a wink and a wiggle and a giggle in the grass and a trip, the light fandango, a pinch and a diddle in the middle of what passes by. It's a very short road from the pinch and the punch to the paunch and the pouch and the pension. It's a very short road to the 10,000th lunch and the belch and the grouch and the sigh. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and a lot in between in the meanwhile. And a girl ought to celebrate what passes by. Shall marry the businessman. Five fat babies and lots of security. Friday nights, if we think we can, we'll go dancing. And a fumble and a tumble in the sheets and a foot, the Highland fancy, a dip in the butter and a flutter with what meets my eye. It's a very short fetch from the push and the whoop to the squint and the stoop and the mumble. It's not much of a stretch to the cribs and the coop and the bosoms that droop and go dry. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed to be sampled and seen in the meanwhile. And a girl has to celebrate what passes by, or I shall marry the Prince of Wales. Pearls and servants and dressing for festivals, Friday nights with him all entails. We'll have dancing meanwhile. It's a rip in the bustle and a rustle in the hay, and I'll pitch the quick fantastic with flings of confetti and my petticoats away up high. It's a very short way from the fling that's for fun to the thigh pressing under the table. It's a very short day till you're stuck with just one, or it has to be done on the sly. In the meanwhile, there are mouths to be kissed before mouths to be fed, and there's many a tryst and there's many a bed. There's a lot I'll have missed, but I'll not have been dead when I die. And a person should celebrate everything passing by. And I shall marry
Wow, what a knockout version of that song by Rachel York. I think she is the real deal. I just got to see her in Little Me. Anyway, today on our show, Upstairs Downstairs, we're looking at masters and servants. And here's one servant, played by George S. Irving, in the little-known musical So Long 174th Street, as the butler Marlowe, who has an agenda of his own. So this is one of my favorite songs ever, simply called The Butler Song. And boy, is it one. Here's George S. Irving.
Say David, I'm worried about you being an actor.
Why?
Well, if you get to be famous, you'll forget about me.
Never.
You'll go to Hollywood, meet beautiful movie stars, and forget about me.
Never.
You'll get rich, you'll have a mansion with a butler, and forget about me.
Oh, never. Never. Never.
Hello? Yes, this is the residence of David Kolowitz, the famous actor. No, this is Marlowe, the butler. Who's calling, please? Ah, Miss Garbo. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Kolowitz can't come to the phone right now. Pardon? What? Yes, of course I can tell you why not. He's a screwing Dolores del Rio. That's why he cannot speak to you. He's screwing Dolores del Rio and may not be disturbed till he's through. No, he can't call you back at 5:30. At 5:30 he humps Alice Faye. Then Jean Harlow at 7, Mae West at 11, and somewhere between them Faye Ray. No, tomorrow, I fear, is no better. He'll be banging Jean Arthur at 10, Carol Lombard at 1, Myrna Loy, Irene Dunne, half an hour for dinner, and then he's booked solid to midnight, at which time it's Dolores del Rio again. Yes, I could set you up an appointment, but the waiting list's endless, I fear. Ruby Keeler's been waiting 6 months now, Betty Davis for over a year. No, next Friday is out of the question. Cancellations are simply unknown. There's Miss Dietrich, and then it is time for Miss Bennett. No, Constance, on Tuesday it's Joan. No! Next Wednesday you haven't a hope, miss. He shtook Sylvia Sidney at 4. Then May Murray, May Clark, and then after it's dark, with L'Amour and Lamar it's amore. Then as usual, just as a nightcap, it's Dolores del Rio encore. There might be an opening in April. If you promise you won't take too long, you'd go right after Madeline Carroll and just before Anna May Wong. Oh, no, wait, that's not any good either. I'd forgotten these penciled-in dates. There's Joan Crawford, and then he must meet Sonia Henny. They're going to try it on skates. Please, it's no good you're weeping, Miss Garbo, and it's no use you're taking that tone. You can rave, you can rant, Mr. Kolowitz can't, simply can't come and talk on the phone. He's screwing Dolores del Rio, and he wants to be, you know, alone.
That was Georgia Irving as Marlowe the butler, giving the right instruction to Greta Garbo from the musical So Long 174th Street. Now, I'm sorry if that was a little scratchy for some of you, but Mr. Irving actually performed that twice in a revival of that show, which was now called Enter Laughing. I think it was done at Bay Street, even, a few years back. But that is the original recording, which I think has a little more panache and is also rare. We like to play rare things. Well, speaking of rare and lovely things, we are devoting our show today to upstairs, downstairs, all that class tension and aristocratic families dealing with the servant class who are down below that I think has thrilled people now with the reinvigoration of shows like Downton Abbey. Now, many of you may remember another TV show, as I do fondly, called Upstairs Downstairs, which had a little brief resurgence and sort of revival. But that was, to me, the ne plus ultra of fashionable families and the servants who loved them. And I think for many years there was some rumblings that there might be an upstairs-downstairs musical to emerge out of the West End. It never really happened. But here in America, we actually had our own upstairs-downstairs musical of a kind. It was from 1976, and it's the musical 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, many of you may not know that, or perhaps you only know about it in legend. This was the bicentennial musical written by Leonard Bernstein and Alan J. Lerner, and it didn't last very long. It may have lasted 2 weeks, but the upstairs and downstairs referred to the house in particular, which was none other than the White House. So it was a tour of, I think, 16, 17, 18 presidents, the first of them, and the servants, who, of course, were African-American, who lived downstairs in the White House. So a very, very interesting show. It was never properly recorded, in my opinion. We're going to hear a cantata version by a very operatic concerty crowd that I think sing it beautifully but may not do the drama justice. It's a great show. It's a wonderful score. You know, Maslon's theory is good people do good material, bad people do good material, but even good people, when they do flops, have things that that reach out to us and is still of high quality. So here are two high-quality songs about upstairs and downstairs at the White House from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll hear the servants welcoming back Ms. Adams, Abigail Adams, and then we'll hear her wonderful song to the servant Lud, who's a young boy, about taking care of the White House. That's June Anderson singing. I hope you enjoyed our Upstairs, Downstairs hour. That will be all.
Struggling to be, hope must
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.